One, two, three. Henda! Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Hey, you.
Who's you?
It's you. It's me. It's us. Hi.
Hi. It's Simon.
And Jake.
And this is... This isn't therapy. We didn't think about that.
We didn't think about that that time.
This isn't therapy.
This isn't therapy. Is it a tongue twister? This isn't therapy?
I'm just waiting for someone to figure out
the premise.
Yes. And then once they figure it out, then they can tell us.
Yeah,
then,
they should notify us.
Yeah, please. If anyone's listening...
If you are still listening, thank you so much for tuning in to episode 3. This is a very exciting new project that we are journeying on.
Yeah.
And so in that case, if you wanted to continue past this episode, we would love to hear your feedback and we'd love to sort of hear how it's going for you.
We haven't decided if we want to continue.
Yeah.
Is that too much?
No, I think it's not enough.
Because this was we decided 3 episodes first to begin, to be like, is this something that we enjoy doing?
Yeah.
And is this something that is serviceable for other people?
Yeah.
Because why do this?
Yeah.
If it's not going
to
be...
Right. Like why contribute to the culture if it's not going to be helpful?
Yes. So please let us know if you want us to continue making more episodes. And if not, just don't. Your silence will be enough.
Yeah. We'll read your silence loud and clear.
Yes.
But we're here. This is episode 3.
And episode 3.
We're talking about finding a therapist.
So we're changing it up a bit.
Yeah.
So up to this point, each of our episodes were sort of what we're calling inside the therapy room. Demystify and normalize a lot of the conversations that happen inside the therapy room and take them outside of the therapy space and just talk about them because they don't only have to exist when you're in that therapy room.
Exactly.
So Jake, you have a fun little saying you say about how many hosts there are for this show.
There's not just 2, baby.
Ooh. How many are they?
How many are there?
Tell me.
I'm using this we. I'm roping you into this like delusion.
Roll me in, baby.
Oh,
boo.
Boo. Our third host is you, the listeners. So we like you to be a part of it in a very meaningful way. And the way that we do that is by sending out prompts every now and again to form the basis of our episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So we would love to hear what you want us to talk more about. But for today, we are going to be talking about the adventurous journey of finding a therapist.
Shall we get into it?
Yeah. I'm going to pop the question. This is like the therapist question of the decade.
Okay.
Where should we begin?
I feel as though we have to start with a confession from me, Simon. I currently have not been to therapy. And yet here I am hosting a podcast, which luckily this isn't therapy, so there should be no issue
right here. So what's the issue?
Is my setup. But it's kind of funny because we have been bubbling and boiling and brewing this podcast for a while, simultaneous to personally, I have been bubbling and brewing the idea of a therapist. So when we were coming up with this idea and the structure of our episodes, we thought what better way to sort of is to why not talk about the process of actually finding a therapist, because when I was talking to you as a friend about it, there was a lot of stuff up there that was coming up that it was like, do you address them as doctor? What's the difference between an MSW? And like all of that lingo.
You're right.
Or even just like, what does that first email look like? Like, hello, dear madam.
Hello, person.
Hello, person. I want therapy.
Yeah. And I need it. What's the conversation?
All my best.
Right.
Sincerely, your like, how do you address like so many small details? So we thought, I'm roping you into this.
Yeah.
That we thought
rope me in.
Rope. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Tie you up.
Pull me in.
I think it would be helpful, and so do you, to sort of like talk through the process via like the lens of my personal experience, which is to say that this is not going to be the experience for everyone, but maybe you can find some little like nuggets of I don't know, insight, information that would be helpful for you for when you are looking for therapy.
Yeah. Just some like little takeaways for yourselves as you either continue this work for yourself or are starting it fresh. And so you're relatively new to this idea of either starting therapy or engaging with therapy as a tool for like understanding yourself or your world or whatever it is.
So where do we begin?
So where should we begin? Yeah, I mean, what I'm curious about is why you feel that therapy is something that can help you meet your goals.
Like why therapy instead of like yoga?
Yeah.
Or like, a paint class.
Yeah, like why therapy instead of like walking your dog every morning, going to the gym, or whatever it is that you do to keep yourself healthy and whole. And
yeah, I think the initial decision came from wanting to speak to someone. Part of my process of sorting through the thoughts is by talking to people. But I was feeling like as if I were burdening my partner, my friends, you know, family. And sometimes those things, like I see myself as someone who is also built on my own, but built by my relationships around me.
Right.
So it seems very unfair to talk about one relationship with someone else that I have a relationship with in my life, like a social relationship, and have valuable insight.
Right.
Like when I go to a friend and ask for help, I'm asking for comfort.
Yeah.
Like, do I actually want insight?
Right.
No. I want you to be like, no, you got it.
Right.
Like, they were wrong and blah, blah, blah. Like, go get it, girl. The stars are in your grasp.
Yeah.
Right. I don't want like you to psychoanalyze me, but I felt that I wanted that to be able to take out like the messy, tangled up piece of yarn that's in my head and to give it to the therapist and to help me sort it out.
So what I'm hearing from that is that you probably want some semblance of like objectivity, like someone outside of your circle.
Absolutely.
And then also it sounds like you still want a relationship. Like you still want that to be a relational experience that you share with somebody else.
Yeah.
So it's not just like you're like, you know, going to Google or going to like a website to find your answer.
Absolutely. And it to be like full disclosure.
Yeah.
I feel as though this was like a 2-year process for me to be here.
I was going to ask like how new is this for you?
I would say that I could pinpoint the first time I put into writing or words, which was, I think I might look into therapy. The first time I mumbled something like that was maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And it took me 2 years to arrive to this point where I eventually sent out that first email. I did the yoga. I did the walks. And all of those things were helpful. I'm not going to totally discount that stuff.
Yeah.
But then all of that stuff always comes bubbling up no matter what.
Right.
Right? And it took till now to be able to, you know, send that first email. So
yeah,
here we are.
So here we are, like
here
at
we are.
A point in your journey where, you know, and I think I guess like the part that I think is valuable to normalize is this, like the built-in apprehension to a process like this, like starting this idea of like starting something new, as we've talked about, is new things are hard. But also overcoming the barriers to be able to access that new thing, right? Like it's not even just like the emotional hurdles that like you might experience. Like private therapy is like a really inaccessible form of healing, right? Obviously it takes like a certain level of financial ability to be able to go and do that, right? And to be able to like make that choice. So you've obviously arrived at a point where you're like, now's the time. Now it feels like a time when I can access it,
right? Yeah.
And so it's interesting. Because when I first started therapy, I couldn't afford it. And so I remember the way that it was originally framed to me just through like my own education and stuff like that is that it was framed as kind of like an investment. It was kind of like, you know, even if financially it is hard, it is still something that's worthwhile, right? It's not just like a burger that you spend money on and it kind of goes away. My point being is that you're here. So you've arrived at this point. So now what?
If you don't mind, I would love to like go back even like one step because you brought up the apprehension.
Imagine I did mind. Imagine I was like, I
decided. I'm like, this is so, I love it. Yeah. I'm addicted to chaos.
Yeah.
This is so toxic.
Britney Spears toxic.
Britney Spears, if you're listening.
Stop.
Yeah, stop.
You have more important things to focus on.
Yes, you do. The apprehension was such a big thing.
Yeah.
Like that was... It felt like dating, which the beginning of relationship, if anyone who's ever been in a relationship, it's a lot of like
It's work.
It's almost like when you're trying to select a Netflix television series to watch, yeah. And you're like, can I commit to this? Because there's like 9 episodes. Like, that's like 9 hours of my life. Am I going to commit to that? It's like that same thought process is the same thing that was holding me back. Because I was like, the process of finding a therapist, not only did I not know how to do
it. What, your commitment issues?
Actually, I'm actually free of those. Free of commitment issues. Issues elsewhere, yeah. But pretty good in the commitment category.
Yeah.
It just feels like a lot of work to have to like figure out, how do I even do it? There were so many things stopping me. And the financial thing was a big thing for a while too. Like you said, it's not necessarily the most accessible thing for people. I'm here after having made the decision of like, no, you need to push through and you need to start. Like my first initial step was literally Googling like therapists. I live in Toronto. So it'd be like therapists in Toronto.
Right. And like, so like what comes up like when you Google therapists in your city?
Private practices. There's like things that are like psychologists today. And there was this database, Psychology Today, I think it was called.
Psychology Today, yeah.
Psychology Today. That might not be useful for people that are not in Canada or in Toronto, but that was the database.
It's in the States as well.
Is it? Okay, great. Yeah. That's good. So Psychology Today. And the initial thing was actually reaching out to one therapist. And I based it off of what you told me, which was literally scroll through photos and see if you respond.
Wait, what?
To any of them.
Okay.
You don't remember?
Go back. This is awesome because this is exactly what I tell people. But yeah. I don't remember telling you this specifically.
Yeah, because I remember being in the early process of it.
Okay.
And I was like, how do you pick?
Good job,
so now
Jake.
I found... Good job.
Good job, Jake.
This is a pat on the back for...
Jeez.
We'll insert like a sound effect of like patting on the back.
Yeah, I'm doing my job correctly. We need a soundboard. That's what we need.
Do we?
So I told you, go and look through the photos.
Yes. It was very simple. I was trying to analyze it. And you were like, no, which one has kind eyes? Like,
right,
what were the things that I look at and I look at that person, literally judging a book by its cover and saying, aha, yes, you, I could actually, based off of your photo, you look like someone I could talk to.
Yeah.
And so that was number one, which then would bring me to like their, you know, their contact information and all of everything that they're about.
Their bio, that whole thing.
Absolutely. And then I didn't really read it because it's a lot.
Interesting.
I scammed. I know it's bad. I feel like I cheated a little bit.
Well, here's the thing, Simon. I actually don't think it's bad, because I think you're highlighting a really important part, which is that something that is already so inaccessible becomes a lot more inaccessible when it's like you go onto someone's profile and it just tells you all these like words you don't know.
Yes.
And like a number of acronyms about like all these like therapeutic techniques that they know.
Yes.
And then it becomes this like, it's a very cookie cutter kind of bio. It's like, everybody has a life story that is worth unpacking, and everyone's stories are valuable to me. Mm-hmm. And that's why I want you to buy my, it becomes like a, and this isn't like, let's be clear. Like I have my own version of that, right? Like people are interested in that. People want to know and people want to be taken care of, right? And for some people, it's going to be the photo. For some people, it's going to be the price. For some people, it's going to be like the words that they wrote on the page.
Yeah.
For some people, it's going to be like those like therapy jargony kind of words. But I'm wondering how do you wade through all of that? It sounds like the writing on the page wasn't something that...
No, it was so overwhelming, but I knew how to deal with being overwhelmed, which was for me to just make one choice.
Right.
So all I had to do was email one.
Just choose one.
And I relieved myself of the pressure of it being the one. Mm-hmm. So I picked one and I wrote one email. And that was even a hurdle in itself because I was like, what the hell do I write?
Yeah, what is the script?
Dear sir or madam, hello. Like, I didn't know. Doctor,
yeah,
rabbi. And so I ended up reaching out to a friend who had gone through therapy. And I said, I don't know what to write. Like, how do I do this?
Please help.
And they literally said, this is what you have to write. And it was something along the lines of like, hello, my name is Simon. It is now time to start thinking about my mental health and bringing that to the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
I work in film and TV. It's the first time I've ever done this.
Yeah.
Look forward to hearing from you. And like, that was it. Because I wasn't sure, like, do I give them like bullet points of like, I would like to talk about my anxiety.
This is
I would
like every detail.
Right. And But then it feels kind of like a first date. yep. in that way.
Yeah.
And there were responses where we're like, sorry, my clinic is full,
mm-hmm.
which sucks. Yeah. I know that's not,
yeah.
but like, it sucks to be like, to have gotten to that point.
Oh yeah.
And all of the hurdles, that 2-year process, and to have someone say, I'm sorry, I'm so full.
I'm sorry. It's just like not for
and
us.
And it felt like a big fuck you, which I know wasn't what they were doing.
No.
But I had a moment of like, wow, this could really turn someone off.
Yeah.
So I added in my emails moving forward, this was after my first one, I started adding, and if you are full, do you have any recommendations?
Oh.
And I started getting recommendations every single time.
Good. So some kind of like workaround for you to kind of still get something out of like reaching out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was pretty specific with what I wanted. So for me personally, as a queer person, I wanted to speak to someone who was part of the LGBTQ2IA+ community. And for me, it was important that the person was not a cis gay man.
Mm-hmm.
So I said that. And it was like, present with me anything
yeah.
within those parameters.
Yeah.
And then it was just continuously reaching out with the same copy and paste email
right.
over and over again. And then sometimes they would respond and say, I have a wait list, or yes, I have availability. Let's do a consult.
Yes.
Bum, bum, bum. What does that mean?
You're like, pardon me? Now yeah. I have to consult with you?
I don't know what I do.
Yeah.
Can like, yeah. okay, so I feel like I've been talking a lot, but like, does anything that I am saying to you from someone who's like on the other side of that, like, what does this mean to you?
It means that you're a very normal human person,
yeah.
Experiencing the landscape of mental health yeah. in the okay. world. It's like, this is a very common occurrence, right? For yeah. people who are looking to access, therapy, and also people who are looking to like access like private services. They come up against like wait lists. They come up against like all the barriers that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, there's a reason like why it's not like a funded part of our social service systems. Part of the reason about mental health specifically is due to like the stigma attached, right? And the necessity for those services.
Mm. So it's telling.
It is telling, right? It's very illuminating about like where our values are placed as like a society or right. as like a, even as a country here in Canada. And I also want to recognize too, like all the many like multi-systemic barriers that people in the United States also come up against. When accessing like the same types of services that even we here in Canada take for granted,
yeah,
in terms of health and like health coverage, part of why I think talking about accessibility, like in this conversation about accessing, finding a therapist, is I look at that as like the most important piece because, you who's like a white, gay, you know, young person,
me,
I don't want to age you, but
surprise.
I'm not a young person anymore.
I just whip out my dentures. Hey, Jakey.
Hey, you.
How's it going?
You have a lot of things that are making it easy for you, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of things in your corner that sort of make it easy for you to access those services, and not everybody has that same. So even when you talk about like finding someone that you relate with or finding someone who like you could open up to, right? Like that's very much determined by who you are as a person at like this particular time, right? Like some people do prefer older people. Some people do prefer people that have the same skin color as them. People prefer like very certain parts of their identity that they want to be represented in the therapy room. And some, again, age is a big factor, like race is a big factor. And unfortunately, when those become factors, all of the like oppressive elements of those things also show up as well, right? So there's a lot of racism in finding a therapist, right? There's a lot of like really like violent tendencies that like we're used to reproducing like outside of the therapy room, all like get reproduced into like our like therapy spaces. And so
can you give a specific example?
Well, I just mean in the sense of like even just you saying like I'm choosing someone that I want to talk to and I would feel comfortable opening up to,
mm-hmm.
right? I'd be curious, like just for you in your own person, like who kind of met that criteria, right? And who was that kind of person?
Right.
Right. And I think that's important work for us to do as people accessing services. For me, as someone who like provides those services, right? Like I'm very keenly aware of the types of clients that like want to like log on and subscribe to my services, right? Like that's something that's important for me.
Yeah.
Important to me as a health provider. to be aware of is those dynamics, like as it shows up. And not in a way that it's supposed to suggest that, like, let's say, like, Black, Indigenous, or like racialized people are supposed to just automatically feel safe with me, because that is not true. But it is something that is important to me to be aware of. Like, our, like, politicized identities, like being like gay and queer men, like, those are all important things that you should get to be able to talk about in the therapy space, right? And so when it's a very, like, heterogeneous type of space, so like when you go on Psychology Today and all you see is like white faces, you can imagine, like, as a Black or racialized or Indigenous person looking at that and being like, okay, so like where can I fit in, right? Yeah. And so that's why it matters, right? And that's why it's important, again, for you in all of your identities to be able to access the type of person that you want to and need to be able to talk to.
I see what you mean.
In order to access certain parts of your healing and access certain parts of your mental health.
Yeah, and what a privilege it was for me to find someone so easily. Well, yeah. I don't know, but
right.
Be able to feel like I can reach out to this person.
Exactly.
And to be honest with you, everything that you're saying, I didn't have the language for that, but there was a lot of that. It was a lot of noticing, like, there's not a lot of queer
right.
therapists. There's a lot of cis white therapists in Toronto.
Yeah.
And a lot of them were like 40 plus or been practicing for 20 odd, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And I was like, none of that was attractive to me. Because
mm-hmm.
that was holding up like the idea of what I thought therapy was, which was very not for me.
Right.
It wasn't built in my likeness. Right. And because I didn't even know what I wanted either, but I just seeing that, what you pointed out, Psychology Today, which actually ended up leading me to like a specifically queer organization. It was because there was the one queer that I found on page 2.
Right.
That then led me to finding the organization, which was an agency that's specifically for queer
yeah.
people.
Absolutely.
By and for, and to then go from there to then get further and further specialized. You don't find them on Psychology Today, don't worry.
Yeah.
Reach out to maybe just one person that's kind of in the, which is so shitty to say, but it's like kind of.
Right.
Who like, would work.
Can kind of fit in.
Like, yeah, could kind of fit in. And then maybe yeah. their network
yeah.
of people that they would then like provide access to will help lead you to that.
Yeah.
And it right. was through that, like, find the one person in the room.
Yeah.
Find the one gay in the room.
There could be 100.
100 people in the room.
And all you need is one.
One. Lady Gaga, if you were listening, please,
please just give us a sign.
Just give us a sign from above.
Flash us like a peace sign or something.
Or 1,000 doves. Just release yeah. 1,000 doves into the air and we'll be like, gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Thank you for sharing that part. I think that's like a piece of this work and a piece of this journey that is so important to talk about.
Yeah.
Right. And so maybe we'll just take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about it some more.
Hello Fresh is good.
Okay. So, you know, I think it's important if we just sort of summarize, like, where are we now? Right. I think that, like, what I would hope is that,
mm-hmm.
throughout like the duration of this podcast, like, I would like to continue to check in with you and just sort of see like how it's unfolding for you, if that's okay for you.
That would be so fun. I would do it because I would want, like I said, going through the process, there were so many things that I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
So if I could, through the lens of my own personal experience, sort of provide
right.
any type of insight for anyone, I would love that.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. So like let's maybe just so that we're clear, like, where are we now? You have sent out these emails.
Sent out the emails, and I have 2 that I'm doing a consultation with, and I'm hoping to hear back from a third. And to me, that feels like enough.
Yeah. And we touched on it earlier, just like how much work this is involved in sort of getting this started, right? And so I'm wondering, like, what do you think is more uncomfortable? Is it like the process of finding a therapist, or is it like the life that you're sort of living before?
That's a good question.
How do you decide that, like, you know, I'm just going to, I know it's going to be uncomfortable no matter which way I go, but like, I still need to do this, even though it's hard.
I think because I tried not doing it. Yeah. Like I said, it was a 2-year process to get to here.
Yeah.
You best believe in those 2 years that I did everything but.
Right.
And yet here I am.
And I'm sure it also makes you question too, like, if like, if the big deterrent for like doing therapy is like my discomfort at the very start of it,
yeah,
that also probably tells you a lot.
Yeah.
Right.
To me now, I feel able to push through the discomfort because I feel proactive. Like I find comfort in the steps of I email this person gets back to me. They say yes or no, we move forward, we don't. We do move forward, great. We move towards a consultation. Like it feels like an itinerary.
Yeah. Good.
I feel empowered by the steps and the
It's almost like activity. It's almost like you predicted what I was going to ask. I was going to say, like, how do you feel about that? How does that make you feel?
But how does that make you feel? I feel empowered.
You know what's interesting? That's awesome. I'm glad you feel empowered.
It feels like, if I can paint a visual, you're in quicksand. Sounds dramatic, but I'm in quicksand.
Sounds a bit dramatic.
It sounds a bit dramatic, okay, but okay. I'm in quicksand.
Okay.
And someone gives you a rope ladder. Don't ask me how ergonomically that
works.
What's
it attached to?
Don't ask. This is what the visual.
Right.
The frame is very tight.
So there's a piece of
rope. We're on a medium shot.
A piece of rope with some knots in it.
And you, that first initial pull out of the quicksand is the hardest. It requires the most amount of energy. And then once you have it like, and you're kind of out, but you're not completely out.
Yeah.
Then you grab the second one. And then you start believing, oh, I can actually get out of this.
I can do it.
That's where I'm at. I'm on like knot number two.
And know that like if you flail too much at this stage, then it's probably not going to end well for you in the quicksand.
I guess so. That's, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So here we am.
Love that. Thank you. Love that for you. Yeah. Absolutely. That's amazing. Well, I, on behalf of everyone I know and everyone who's listening, thank you so much for sharing. Mm-hmm. That is, sharing is not always easy. So I'm glad that we get to kind of come along on this journey with you for as long as you'll let us.
Oh, boy. The entire time. Should I just bring a microphone into my first session? Just kidding. I wouldn't.
Oh, my God.
I'll just film everything.
You cheeky.
I'm a filmmaker.
You're like, hey, can I just set this thing up? It's for a school project.
It's a school project.
The way that we like to end our episodes is just with some like lightness and some positivity and some hope and maybe sometimes some fun and some games and that kind of thing. But for now, we've landed on this. We've put out a question to the MSW Jake audience members, and we asked them, what are some things that you have understood or come to terms with or have learned through the process of receiving therapy?
Because this isn't therapy.
This isn't therapy specifically.
But this is what therapy can do for you.
Right. And like, you know, this might be therapeutic. You may find some like healing properties to this, what we're saying. Mm-hmm. But again, like Simon said, this is not therapy specifically. But we're going to highlight some of the really cool elements of therapy. Mm-hmm. So rock, paper, scissors to see who goes first.
Yeah.
Cool.
Ready? Rock, paper, scissors, dynamite.
Whoa, what? You won.
Creativity.
What do you got for us?
This one, which I didn't plan this, but it feels very clandestine. Life is a series of calculated risks, and once you share it, it's not yours anymore. And I think specifically that second part.
Oh.
Because I think it kind of talks to our, you know, earlier episodes 1 and 2 about vulnerability and opening up. But even in this episode about, dare I say it, like, talking about the process of therapy and how difficult it is makes me feel less alone about it, which makes it feel like it's not just mine to carry.
Yes.
It's almost like I'm forcing everyone to carry it with me. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Hold my things.
Hold everything.
Yeah, hold my things just while I use the bathroom.
Please. Just, can you watch it? Yeah. Please.
So this person submitted a really great one. It actually is kind of what you were saying. Mm-hmm. And this person said, with my therapist, I learned that we're in this together. And she said to me, we're in this together. Do you know that? We can be here for as long as you need.
That makes it sound like this person is not, you're driving the car and your therapist is right beside you in the passenger seats, but I'm in control. And the therapist is like, do you want to turn left? And you can be like, nope, because I'm actually driving.
Yeah, not yet.
Not yet. And the therapist is like, that's fine.
That's what that
sounds like. Am I offloading too much?
No, I love it because I think what it also is, it's a comment just about like that there's no like finality to it if there doesn't need to be.
Right.
In the sense of like, it's a relationship and it can remain ongoing for as long as you have a goal, or for as long as like we're doing like work, as long as we're working on something, like you can stay.
I'm so glad this person shared that.
Yeah, me too. Should we say one more?
Yeah, let's do one more.
Oh, this one is really great. I have learned through the process of therapy that my feelings are valid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Feelings are always going to be valid, no matter what they look like.
That feels very like, and this may sound like a judgment, but this says more about me than it does the person.
Right.
If I could be so bold. That sounds very live, laugh, love to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And again, that's more about me than it is that person.
Right, right.
I can only understand that at a superficial level.
Right. You mean like it feels a little bit like you're diluting the meaning behind?
I don't understand the emotional like oomph to that.
Right.
That to me is something I would go to like Winners and say like
feelings are valid. Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's fascinating because I hear that and I'm like, we live in a culture which like time and time again, we are fed the message that our feelings don't matter. I get it because it's so reproduced and it's one of those like, I guess like cultural ideas that like lose their meaning the more and more like they kind of are said or talked about, or like it feels a bit like fluffy.
Right.
But I guess for someone who talks about feelings for a living, and I say to people and I help people see that their feelings actually are important, I can see why this person was like, oh, like the number one thing that I learned from my therapist is that my feelings are valid and that they matter.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, you better have your feelings matter.
I want that. I want to be able to, I want to join that train.
Oh,
I want to be in that caboose.
I love that.
Yeah. I want to get there.
Well, like what a beautiful wrap up to
this
episode, which is you finding a therapist.
Yeah. Yeah. And also the wrap up to our little like pilot project here, which are the three episodes of This Isn't Therapy. This is it for now.
This is it for now. And maybe for forever.
Who knows?
Who knows? If you like what you heard and if you want more, please send us your feedback. We'd love to kind of hear how it's sitting for people. If this is something that is contributing to the culture and meeting the moment.
And how can they contact you, Jake?
People can contact me by a local landline only because I don't
you never use upgraded? A cell phone. Okay.
No.
That's fine.
I'm still using like the one that's rooted in the wall with like the rotary. The local landline.
Yeah.
So people can,
operator?
Yeah, people can contact me through landline, or if you're into the social media game, then you can also reach out to me at MSWJake. Where do you think that people could try to locate you if they wanted to find you?
They can't. That will always be my answer.
Yeah.
It's going to stop being funny.
Yeah.
If we choose to continue.
Yeah.
And then it'll be funny again.
For those wondering, Simon only has Instagram. So. No,
yes. Don't look for me anywhere else. You can find me on Instagram at Directed by Simon. I had fun.
I had so much fun.
Okay. Phew.
Was that unclear? Like, was that like a point of like you were worried that I wasn't having fun?
Well, you were looking down quite a bit for the last little while, so I was like, oh, he's not making eye contact he's bored with me. Oh, I understand.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's important and funny how body language can communicate so much.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yes.
No, I'm really interested in what we're talking about, and I hope that my level of eye contact doesn't communicate that in future. From now on, I will be extremely vulnerable and only
and only directly, stare at me. And I'll be like,
directly in the eyes.
Enough. But thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Thank you for contributing, for all of those who submitted those prompts. We see you, we hear you, and thank you. Thank you. We cannot thank you enough.
Yeah, and stay tuned for more. Like, maybe it'll happen, but maybe not. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that was it.
See ya. Bye.
Bye. Dun 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 dun.